back on the Eric Push Game. Push Game, that was weird. Chewing your brooch with you. Brett has an important question about Thanksgiving leftovers, and then I would like to dive into the upsides and downsides of capitalism as experienced by the Uyghur family over the weekend.
Love it.
Okay.
First off, we had like some weird logistical challenges with Thanksgiving this year about where to have it, and finally we just decided we're gonna do the whole thing, just the two of us. It's our first married Thanksgiving, so we cooked half portions of entire family meals. Save for the turkey, we went to Costco and found the smallest turkey we could find, which was 11 pounds. So we have 11 pounds of turkey, a giant thing of stuffing, a giant thing of all the standards. How many times can I eat this before I have to throw it away? When is too much?
That's a great question. Let's adjudicate on several different levels.
Okay.
First of all, I think that as a matter of time, you max out at a week.
A week, and Thursday.
Yeah, and so once you've rolled back around to the next Thursday, you gotta let it go.
Gotta let it go.
Yeah, and even if you didn't make it all the way through. Then I get to the point where I get really guilty about throwing out food.
Yes.
And then what do you do?
I don't know. Like, I don't know what, you have to though. Cause you can't give it away at that point cause you're making people sick.
No, and that's my point. Like, if you go to someone and go like, huh, am I not magnanimous? I have brought you week old
yes.
Thanksgiving like, leftover food.
Bro, it's Wednesday night.
Right.
It's been a full week.
Yeah.
You can't mask that at that point. They know.
I think you gotta let it go. Let it go.
The other thing is like, I get why we eat turkey because chicken's not big enough for a family, you know, for a whole group of extended family. Also, it puts people to sleep because of tryptophan, but why stuffing? Like, why? Pumpkin pie, pumpkins are like fall decorations. They're around. But why, like how did stuffing become a thing?
I don't know, we don't do stuffing. We're anti-stuffing.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, we do stuffing. We don't even do it in the bird. Everyone now, my brother is like, well, no one cooks stuffing in the bird anymore. You gotta put it in a little roasting pan. So ridiculous, but we did it all. I don't know, those are my questions about Thanksgiving and luckily they've been answered.
I have a couple more answers, and then I like the idea that you came up with, accidentally, not really, that like what if it wasn't turkey? What if it was like three chickens?
Yeah,
like
the old tradition of three chickens.
Right.
Come over for Thanksgiving.
It could have been not mashed potatoes, but mac and cheese. You know,
there's that story that the national bird, like Ben Franklin, was like, "Dude, it needs to be the turkey."
Yeah,
no. He was like, "Eagles are cool or whatever, but turkeys, man. Can you imagine just like the proud turkey, the symbol of the Philadelphia turkeys play on?" You know.
Now, here's an awesome story about turkeys and Thanksgiving. Well, not about Thanksgiving, but about turkey. The word turkey. Is the country named after the bird or the bird named after the country is a common question.
Yeah.
There is a definitive answer to that. And it lies in what Turkey calls India.
What?
Okay.
How?
In Turkish, India is called land of the turkeys. Okay.
Whoa. Wait, I don't understand.
But it isn't. It's actually the land of the Hindus. But since turkeys originally came from India to Turkey, in Turkey, they're like, oh, we shall name this bird Hindu. Okay, because it comes from Hindustan, okay, or Hindi. So in Turkish, turkey is Hindi. Named after the country of Hindustan, okay? And then when it comes to America, they don't realize that the Turks got it from India. They think the Turks are the ones who had the turkeys. But Turkey was actually just a middle point for the transit of the turkeys, okay? So then they named the bird after the country, not the country at that point, but the people of Turkey.
So it's the people who had turkeys, but to the people who had turkeys in Turkey, the animal was the Hindu. So we referred to the food It's too much. It's too much to wrap my mind around. That's insane. I didn't think it. I thought the short answer was like, it has nothing to do with the bird at all, ever.
No, no.
But it does.
So the bird is named after the country, but the wrong country. So if we actually knew where the bird came from, we would all be eating India for Thanksgiving.
Literally. That is nuts.
Not the country, literally, but we would be calling the bird India.
So I'm also now baffled by the fact that turkeys are from India.
That's right. That's right. They were here originally when the trade began.
Oh my God.
Isn't that cool?
I don't know if I can go on with the day after that.
How's that for an awesome Thanksgiving fact?
I don't think I've ever learned anything so interesting.
I think I should call it a day.
It's but just, no, I want to hear about the family going to the Grove and the capitalism situation. Okay.
By the way, quick note, I eat Thanksgiving leftovers way past the week.
Yeah.
My actual deadline's closer to a month.
I'm too afraid. Really? That's insane. Like my wife gets frustrated with me because I'm like, no, it's been 3 days. I'm going to die from this.
No.
Rid of it.
Okay, I can attest to you will not die. It'll only make you stronger.
But she eats raw beef. She eats raw, like, you know, ground beef before she cooks it. And when we get steak, she cuts off the fat and eats it. Because her dad used to give her, like, good morning. It's my weekend. Can you please put I have the bread and the ground beef and then the bread. And that's a hamburger sandwich, but I'm not going to cook it. And she was just like a 7, 9-year-old, like, so her stomach is very strong. Okay. See videos of her online eating raw beef.
Okay, in another post game, Brett admits that his wife is actually a cannibal.
Yeah, very awesome.
Well, you know, she was growing up and her dad would slice up people.
Yeah. It's hamburger, named after German people from Hamburg. You're at the Grove.
Right, I'm at the Grove. Okay. So, you know, I say all the time on the show that I'm a capitalist, and then some of you guys get pissed, and then you guys send me tweets, and I appreciate it. That's not a bad piss. It's okay. We're having a conversation about, hey, no, Cenk, you must understand capitalism by nature. It needs poverty and a peasant class and blah, 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 and et cetera, right? And I get your points. On the other hand, so here in LA, There's a mall called the Grove. It's basically an outdoor mall because we live in paradise and it only rains like 3 times a year. So outdoor malls are fine. And they glitz it up. I mean, they Christmas the fuck out of it, right? So we're post Thanksgiving now. There's lights everywhere. There's a giant Christmas tree. There's Santa's house in the middle of the fairway or whatever, right? Of the mall, and then at every top of the hour, it snows.
Yes, okay, good, it does. Thank goodness it snows at the Grove.
Yes, it snows in LA, they have this machine that creates fake snow, and the kids are amazed by it.
Is it foam?
It's like bubbles, but it's bubbles. Good, it like sticks in your hair. And it really looks like snow, and it'll even stick on the ground for a little bit.
Yeah.
And so the first time it snowed, my kids were like, oh my God, that's so amazing, it's snowing in LA. The second time it snowed, my 7-year-old was like, Baba. He's like, there's a fan up there that's blowing that thing around, all right? He's like, I don't think that's snow. I'm like, nice job, bro.
Yes.
Okay, that is good deduction. Okay.
Oh God, I was in a play that had one of those things, mm-hmm. and it was like, it just that's when you knew the play went off the rails is when it was like, we will create snow inside with foam, and it was like a giant production problem. So I am familiar with the foam snow creator. It's soap essentially that they shoot on your head.
But yeah. I have to admit that they do a good enough job with it. Okay. And then the Christmas songs come out on the fountain things, and then when you're eating and everything's swirling around you, and then they bring a trolley along, and there's a gingerbread man and Olaf on top, and the Rockettes at the bottom, and you're like, some of you would argue drowning in capitalism, right? Mm-hmm. I would argue it was a fantastic time, and that if you don't do that, like if you don't have capitalism, that doesn't happen. Instead, we're all like, oh, it is the day after India Day.
Right.
And it is what it is. And we all go on about our lives with a little less mirth.
Yeah, it's definitely a joyous occasion. What happens in our, like, I'm in a pocket. And this happened with Thanksgiving, and it happens with this, with Christmas. It's like, I'm in a pocket where I'm like 35 with no kids. And like, my mom still wants to like buy me presents. And I'm just like at a point where like, I don't have room for stuff and I don't need anything. And it's like, it just feels like this attempt to like recapture a previous time.
Yes.
That like, do we let it go at this point? What do you do with this pocket of time where I'm just too old to get presents? You know, I don't know what to do with it.
So no, don't get me wrong. I'm definitely a little conflicted. I think that the nonstop buying of the presents for the kids is, and we've talked about this many times in many post games, like enough already, for God's sake, enough with the fucking presents, right? Everybody, present after present after present. And then people feel bad when they don't have money. Like when I was a kid and I desperately wanted the Atari that everybody else got and my parents never got it for me. And so I felt bad. So I get it. I lived it, right? Mm-hmm. At the same time, come on, Christmas songs are fun and the Christmas decorations are beautiful. And it's kind of cool for a 5 and a 7 year old to think it's snowing in LA briefly.
Well, another thing for, I grew up here and there was no way to know different times of year because it's the same and like rains for 3 days. Mm-hmm. So it was really, as I got older, it was the one thing that said, it is winter now. When things changed, and otherwise you just don't have that. It's just another same day that's happening over and over
again. So, and by the way, they took a religious ritual that, you know, as me as a hardcore agnostic, I think generally those are not great things. They have not led to great results. Religious ritual, count me out, okay? And they made it into this capitalist wet dream. Which if you're religious and you believe in the good parts of religion, as some of our audience does, then you say, well, they perverted it and it's terrible. If you don't like religion and they converted it into a guy in a red suit being really good to kids, not so bad, could be worse.
Yeah, I like all the things about, like I like getting out, like getting a Christmas tree and decorating it. And
yeah,
you know, as you get older, the years get shorter. So I like know where all my decorations are and they cost like $12. It isn't like a giant thing. And it's fun to go out and have that ritual where you go. Having traditions, I think, is different from having rituals. And I think for me, Christmas is just a tradition. Like,
no, you swung me.
Really?
Yeah, go ahead, finish.
We still have like my dad's TA from college is like a history professor. And he, every year when we were growing up, we'd go to his house on Christmas Eve and have like peach cobbler and sit around and have a just like, how's the year going? Mm. And it was after the UCLA football season kind of wrapped up. And so we would talk about the year and go back and do all that
stuff. That's a bizarre moment in time to reflect, but okay.
Yeah, but it's like that we still go to, until this year, we went to football games with him, season tickets, we all go together.
And that's actually one of the most pathetic parts of LA, that they didn't have a real professional football team for a long time. So it makes people live in LA pretend, like have to like a college football team like they live in Nebraska or something. It's really embarrassing.
The difference for us is my father played football for the UCLA Bruins and they won the Rose Bowl in 1966.
Oh, I did not know that.
He was on the Gutty Little Bruins. They beat Michigan State at the last moment when a guy you could see him around town, he owned like Hana Sushi in Brentwood, that same guy knocked himself unconscious, stopping the 2-point conversion to win the game. So UCLA won and defeated the number one Michigan State Spartans. It was a joyous occasion. We go to the UCLA Bruins. So yes, I don't like the folks who decided they would like the frickin' Trojans because we don't have the Raiders anymore. Up yours, it's not the same.
I did not know that history. This is two amazing facts we've learned on this postgame.
That's what happened. It's like, well, I used to go, I like parking and doing my tailgate outside the Coliseum. That's what I'm gonna keep doing. It was stupid. And the only similarity between the Trojans and the Raiders is they both paid their players.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
This got weirdly UCLA USC thing.
We just hired Chip Kelly, and he was questioned for unethical behavior when it came to paying players. But that's it. He paid a recruiter,
basketball coach in previous times was also a question. Anyway, but John Wooden Herrick. Was good. Yeah. Did you finish that story about your dad and your
Yeah. So we still, you know, have the tradition of going to Jim's house, and it's something to do every year. That's not like a religious ritual. It doesn't get into like, oh my gosh, and this actually happened at one point in history, and here is how you should live your life, and then the church versus, you know, whatever. It doesn't get into that. It's just like, oh, once a year we go to Jim's house. And yeah. Once a year, the family gets together and we give each other fun little presents now and have dinner. And I like that aspect of it.
Yeah.
And I get to watch the same movies that they come out on, you know, the streaming services every year. Home Alone happens. Christmas Vacation happens. I enjoy the tradition, not the ritual.
Yeah. No, ironically, you've wiped away that distinction for me. Because so, as you can tell, I was already 85% pro capitalist Christmas. I even wrote an article called Why I Love Santa that I republish every Christmas back in like 05 or 06 about how, you know, taking the Santa and making him capitalist rather than religious was awesome. Okay. Great American ingenuity. But when you said about ritual and tradition, it really put me over the top. I'm now 100% it. Okay. Because we humans need rituals. We can call them traditions. We can call them rituals. We can call them a lot of different things, rites, right? But we need something that we do over and over again. For whatever reason, it's in our DNA, right? Mm-hmm. So would I rather have a ritual focused around ancient religions and sprinkling goat's blood in different corners of the temple?
I would.
Or would I rather have a ritual around a fat, jolly man with a reindeer who makes kids happy? No brainer. I'll take capitalist Christmas any day of the week.
Yeah, I like it. I don't know why. I like the smells of the. I like walking around malls.
See, but that goes to my defense of capitalism overall, because that the reason why you get those things is because they were market tested. They mm-hmm. A/B tested the smells right. And the songs
they
and
shoot it out
right until they figure it out. Humans like these jingles at this time of the year. They like these kind of cookies, and they like this story. And they literally, if you know the history of how Santa Claus came about, the myth of Santa Claus, they would try things like the Nordic countries have like the little black helpers,
the Schwarzepeters.
The Schwarzepeters. And then most people are like, yeah, that makes me uncomfortable.
Yes, because they're blackface and they take you in a burlap sack to Spain.
Right. And they're like, and the Americans are like, let's not keep that part. Okay.
We did something with blackface. We should just move on. Next page.
This part I might be making up, but I think Coke once tried like a green outfit for Santa.
Oh, I don't know.
Didn't play well. They're like, we're back to red. Santa for a while was midsize. They're like, nope, mm-hmm. Americans like fatter Santas.
Right.
And they A/B tested it until they came up with Capitalist Christmas, which is perfectly tailored to get you to go, oh, yeah,
Yeah, a lot of it. A lot. I think Christmas itself, as a holiday, was A/B tested by the church to just like these. There's a moment in the calendar where the pagans celebrate this kind of dead of winter moment. We need something about that. We need something.
Bingo.
And so they did that.
You're just real quick, 100% right. And the original ritual of Christmas as a religious holiday had nothing to do with Christmas or Jesus Christ. If you just dissect the Bible and try to figure out when Jesus was born, it was nowhere near December 25th. It was like in April or something, right? It's really? Just totally bullshit and made up. And they did it because that's when rebirth happens, is at the winter solstice. And so the Christmas tree stands for eternal life because it doesn't shed its leaves.
Yep.
And that is a Germanic tradition. And almost every tradition in Christmas actually points back to pagan tradition, and it was a way for the Christian church to win over the pagans of Europe.
And that's not just a Christian thing. Like the Romans went through and adapted their religion based on who they conquered. Like they collected gods along the way. They're like, these people think this guy's cool, and I think that's a cool story, so we're gonna keep that. And this female goddess is awesome. We're gonna, you know, bring her into the fold. The history of that is awesome. And yeah. It is good to kind of appeal to, it's marketing to people to keep them kind of doing the same thing and a community.
So two super last things, everybody drink. One is like Christmas is so hardwired for our DNA, the way that it has been marketed, that in Turkey when I was growing up, it wasn't Christmas. It was a New Year's tree.
Right.
And New Year's when we got the presents.
Yeah, right. I can tell you a lot of people had Hanukkah bushes.
Yeah, of course. You know why? Because we were all jealous of the Christians because they had such a great holiday. Nope. What do you do on your Muslim holiday? We don't eat for 30 days.
No!
How are there a billion of you people? 1.6 billion people are like, please let us eat.
Okay. Oh my.
Anyway, So what was the super last thing about the gods? So speaking of Islam, the story of how why a god is called Allah in Arabic is really interesting. So Muhammad is going around conquering like all the different tribes and the areas, and he starts in Medina, but the main town, the big town, is Mecca, and he's got to go conquer that. But it's going to be hard to conquer because it's got a nice little tourist trap, which they make good money from, and hence they have a decent amount of resource to fight back against Muhammad. Now Muhammad comes in and he's a good businessman, and he goes, "Look, let's make a deal here." And so the Kaaba, the middle of Mecca, where they now walk around, etc. He's like, "How about now?" The whole thing is, I got the one God shtick that I'm going with that I learned from the Jews and the Christians, right? And I wrote most of the book regarding that. I don't want to rewrite the whole thing, right? So I got to go with one God. They're like, yeah, but there's three gods here, and it works amazing. Everybody comes here. We tell them they got to come, they got to visit this place, and they got to walk around this place, and it's a great little trap that we've set, right?
It's Disneyland, but instead of Donald, Mickey, and Minnie,
that's right, and it's all. Blah blah blah, blah blah blah, and this one god named Allah. Uh-huh. Okay, he was one of the three gods. So in the beginning, Muhammad goes, "All right, we got a deal. Okay, we're gonna switch the three gods." He writes it into the Quran, and then everybody goes nuts. They're like, "What are you doing? What the fuck? The whole thing was based around one god." And then he comes back and goes, "Yeah, my bad, man. I had a bad trip, and I thought God said that, but it turns out it was Satan talking to me. We're back to one god." Okay.
Oh, wow.
And those are the satanic verses that Salman Rushdie wrote the book about and got the fatwa on. Okay.
Oh, wow.
So, but it's in the Quran. They didn't bother taking it out. Okay.
Really?
Yeah, it's amazing. So anyway, the final deal that he does with the merchants, the capitalists of Mecca, is he goes, "Okay, look, this thing, I tried it out. I A/B tested it, right? It didn't work. Okay. So I really need to go with one." Okay. So he's like, "What if every ritual you're doing with the walking around the thing, and they got to buy trinkets, and they got to get stay at a Motel 6 around here, mm-hmm. right? But we just knock over the two other gods." And he's like, "Eeny, meeny, miny, mo, we'll go with Allah, okay? Instead of Al-Bab and Al-Susie, right?"
Wow.
And they're like, "Nah, fuck it. Whatever. We have a deal, okay?"
That's amazing.
And they knock over the other two gods, and they go with Allah. And he is now the one God.
I had learned the most interesting thing of all earlier in the show. And that's it.
And then you wonder why I don't believe in religion. Gee, I wonder if that's the real story of how God decided to share the truth with the world.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway. All right, I hope that this has been an interesting
I've learned a lot.
Little post game, and I think that perhaps we delivered on that promise. Yeah. All right, guys, much love. We'll see you tomorrow.